Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to church this morning. Lovely to see you all. It's really great to be here, isn't it? On a Sunday morning. Still the Easter period, so he's still risen. Good news. And we'll still celebrate with some Easter appropriate hymns and songs this morning as well. Great to see Tony back out of hospital today. With, I understand, a whole list of other future exciting visits to hospital to come up. Is that right, Tony? There won't be a bit of the body you won't know about. Hasn't had intimately examined. Too much detail, yeah. That's right. News on Doreen. How's she this week? My apologies to you for the lateness by which the newsletter would have arrived in your inbox this week. I was travelling a lot over the weekend, so things got rather delayed in those terms. But hopefully, if you haven't found it yet, it's in your inbox there. The main sort of newsy feature, really, is the Try Praying initiative, which is taking place in the Torridge and North Devon area. They're coming up in a couple of weeks. It launches as such, but I've included it into the prayer diary there. So forgive me for adding a little bit of background information about Guinea as well, because in the prayer diary we pray about missionary workers. This is all very relevant to our service today, actually. Missionary workers at different places in the world with the Baptist Missionary Society. And it often occurs to me that I'm guessing that most people are a bit like me and are rather vague about some countries in the world. So you know people are there, you know the name, and you go, now where in the world is that country? And so there was this time when Heather and I went to Papua New Guinea, and we were invited to go to Papua New Guinea as part of VSO, and they rang up in the morning, and they said, we've got an offer for you. Would you like to go to Papua New Guinea for a year? And I said, well, I can't think of a reason to say no, so yes. And then when the phone went down, I turned around, with Papua New Guinea, which ocean is that in? I think it's in the Pacific, but I don't really know. It was in the Pacific. I was greatly relieved that I'd got vaguely the right area, but actually I couldn't have put my finger on the map at all. And I think sometimes when we put things in the prayer diary, we play for praises and think, well, can we put the finger on the map? And do we know actually anything about that country? So I just put a little bit of a country profile into the newsletter this time to help the prayers feel more real, in a sense, when we're doing that. So let's come to the Lord in prayer to start with. Welcome to the service, and let's come to the Lord first, starting with confession and then moving on to the Lord's Prayer together. Heavenly Father, we come before you today as your people. We come to worship you, to express our love to you, our trust in you, and to hear from your Holy Spirit. So speak to us today, we pray, so that we may take a closer knowledge of you away with us in this service. But we come before you, our loving and forgiving Father, and we confess that our lives do not live up to the pure ideals and teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're conscious that no part of our lives are worthy of your holy presence. And we confess that we have often been forgetful of you, careless of others, and have followed our own selfish ways. We're aware we have not reflected the love and concern of the Lord Jesus in the world. And our Father in heaven, we know we are sinners. But help is here and now to accept your forgiveness and freedom from guilt, which you offer in the name of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. So we take the words of Psalm 103, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And Lord Jesus, we are deeply grateful to everyone who gives to your work here in this church. And we come to you not only with monetary gifts, but with gifts of our lives. And we say to you, Lord, all things come from you, and of your own do we give you. Let us say the family prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Now we'll continue our worship by singing two hymns together. Jesus shall reign where'er the sun, and Alleluia, Alleluia, give thanks to the risen Lord. 379 and number 30. Let's sing together.
Thank you.
Boom, boom. Is that working?
Thank you very much.
So, in Matthew's Gospel, the resurrection of Jesus is immediately followed by a command. And the command is to his 11 disciples to go into the whole world and make disciples. So today's service is about making disciples. The whole thing is about making disciples today. What that means, what it meant then, what it means now. And so I'd just like to get our thinking together, because these are questions for the whole church. So I'd like us to get our thinking together by thinking about these two questions that we've got here. How in the past have you been involved in making disciples? And what place does discipleship making have in Abbotsham Baptist? Got those two? How in the past have you been involved? And what place does discipleship making have for this church now? So what I'd like to give you 1 minute to speak to somebody close to you and just make a comment to each other about those two questions. But later on I will, in more depth. So just give it a go from what you know of what being a disciple is. It is in part spreading the news, yes. Okay, thank you. Don't want you to take you too long over that or to tax your brains too hard on that one. Thanks. That's all right. So, has anyone got a response to how in the past have you been involved in discipleship making? Has anyone got anything to say about that? Was that spoken to? Interesting. Definitely. Yeah, definitely. Any other thing? Home groups of some form. Yeah, yeah. Is there a third? Mother and toddler groups. Where were you when you were doing that? Brilliant. Brilliant. Fantastic. So to the question then, what place does discipleship making have for Abbotsham Baptist? Did anyone speak about that? Fantastic. That is a great answer. Thank you very much. And any other thoughts? Don't be too shy. Yeah, being an open service for people to come into. Really important. Really very important. Which is partly why it doesn't need to feel like a club. Because clubs have members and not members. Do you know what I mean? When people come in and go, can I come in? Do I belong here? Am I allowed in here? And part of the reason why we should often explain what we're doing in simple, straightforward language, rather than have like a cliquey little set of language that we keep to ourselves. Things should be explained in everyday terms to people so that anybody feel they can have access to what's going on there. And it's not a secret that we're going on. Okay, let's just hold those thoughts because they all bear on what we're going to look at. service. But we'll sing again now. We're going to sing one of the great Wesley hymns, "And Can It Be That I Should Go?"
I'm going to be reading Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20, and the title is The Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age."
Thank you, Harrison. That passage is extraordinary. It's so packed with things. I was thinking this morning, what is that passage like? And I thought, do you know those sweets you used to get, and that little children loved it to give it to the grandparents as a surprise? You know, they say, "Have a sweet, Grandma," or "Have a sweet, Granddad," and you pop it in your mouth, and it starts going pop, whiz, bang in your mouth, and all over the place. Do you know, are they called popsicles? I don't know what they're called. I can't remember. But that passage is every tiny bit like bursts with loads of things going on. It's impossible to tackle that passage comprehensively, although it's very short, in one small talk. It packs. So I'm going to pick out four words. But before we do that, let's ask Jesus and the Holy Spirit to be with us and to help our understanding of this passage. Lord Jesus, you are the great teacher, and we ask you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will teach us today. Teach us in our mind, but teach us in our spirit as well. Amen. So the words I'm going to pick out are Galilee. You may not have picked these words, but these are the ones I'm picking. Galilee, worship, authority, and disciples. So we're going to get to that question somebody asked. Would you explain what we mean by disciples? We'll get to that question. There. Why Galilee? Well, actually, in that passage that was read, if you look at the chapter of 28, the disciples are told to Galilee is mentioned three times, and they're repeatedly told to go to Galilee. When the angel speaks to Mary, and Mary, she says to the angel says to the Marys, "Go tell the disciples to go to Galilee, and Jesus will meet you there." And a bit later on in verse 10, Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid, and go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. So it's kind of quite important, wasn't it, to go to Galilee? And there's got to be a reason for that. You know, there's nothing without a reason in Matthew's Gospel. Here, the disciples, when they went, and they did go, and they went to a mountain. We could have a whole sermon about the mountains of in Matthew's Gospel, because every one was very significant as they track through the themes. Those mountains parallel the themes within Matthew's Gospel. But the disciples were being obedient to the angel's instruction passed on by Mary and Mary. And I think we're talking here Mary Magdalene, and presumably Mary of Bethany, who was the sister of Martha and Lazarus, who anointed Jesus with oil. I think that's the Mary that we're talking about there, but she's not given a surname in this passage. And it says in verses 6 to 7, it says, this is the angel speaking, "Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee, there you will see him." It's repeated, as I said, in verse 10. So this was a transition moment taking place here. The disciples' initial training was over, and now they were being commissioned in the next step in discipleship, that of being disciple makers. Moving from simply disciples to disciples and disciple makers here. They remain disciples. And what do we mean by that? We mean learners and followers, would be a simple way of describing it. Now, to be disciples, they have to be disciples who make other disciples. Not disciples of themselves, though, but disciples of Jesus. And one of the great sins and temptations within the church, in a sense, is for those who find themselves in prominent positions, is actually thinking they're making disciples of themselves. But no. True leadership in the church is to be directing people to be a disciple of Jesus. Paul had that well and truly understood. So why choose Galilee to be the place to do that? Well, Jesus was returning them to the place where he started his ministry, to where he had originally called these disciples, to what Matthew calls and Isaiah calls Galilee of the Gentiles. In other words, to a gateway to the world. The place where Jesus has fulfilled one of the prophecies of Isaiah. This is the prophecy quoted in Matthew. So it's in two places in the Bible. Originally in Isaiah 9, 1 to 2. And then in Matthew, chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. What was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, that the island, so the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And those dwelling in the region and the shadow of death on them, a light has dawned. Jesus was setting the commissioning of the disciples in the same place as he began his ministry, with the same purpose, to bring light to a world living in spiritual darkness. A Gentile world. God's purpose for Israel, Old Testament purpose, was to be the light to the world. Now their role was to reveal God's light in Jesus to the whole world. And Matthew makes these connections throughout his gospel. And now the story has come a full circle. So why Galilee? Because Galilee was a gateway to the world. And they were being commissioned with the same commission that Jesus had to bring light to spiritual darkness. So, I'm going to ask this question each time as I'm going through this. What does this say to today's church? Well, the same truth applies. Disciples are to make disciples. There is to be no geographical limit. The wider world is still in darkness and in the need of the light of Christ. We are a continuing part of that story. We are part of the story of the 11 disciples on that mountain in Galilee. And as a church, we partner with others in this calling, this church now, I'm talking Abbotsham Baptist, in the financial and prayer support that we give to our mission partners. In this way, we are actively concerned in the worldwide discipleship making. This church is engaged daily in worldwide discipleship making. So it's important that we pray. And to that end, we can use our prayer diary, which is there to inform us and to aid us to pray about discipleship making. It's important we pray, and we may well have a personal mission partners as well. I imagine quite a number of us have individual people or individual organisations that outside of our church commitment, in terms of through Abbotsham, we still partner with others. So one particular partners that we have, that Heather and I have, is a couple called Richard and Zoe. And they are partners, they are mission partners in Indonesia, working with what they call the MK people. What we're talking about here are the Muslim majority of Indonesia. As a church, our partners are local as well, such as Counties and David Simmons, or supporting home mission and outreach through a Baptist initiatives throughout the Southwest, or with WINGS, working with young people with special needs, or people who have found the school system unsustainable for them. They're all mission partners supported by prayer and money through this church, all part of what Jesus was instructing the disciples to do, we are part of that. And on an international scale, amongst others, we support and pray for Rehoboth in Philippines, and for Laura Lee in Peru, and for Mission Aviation Fellowship across the developing world, and for Barnabas Aid and Open Doors working with the persecuted church, and most especially with Baptist World Mission. We are a vital cog in the wheel of discipleship making. And just to illustrate what that looks like outside of this building in another country, we'll just have a little look at the Easter message from the Baptist Missionary Society. It's set in Thailand. It's asking for support. But I talked to the person in charge of the digital mission for a couple of weeks ago for BMS, Baptist World Mission, and she said, just use it as information about what we're doing with your church. So Nick, can we just play that quick little video, please?
This Easter, a harvest field awaits. We are inviting your church to partner with BMS World Mission workers Helen and Whit Flinderton to help them share the good news of Jesus. Come with us at Wangan and see this incredible work for yourself.
And welcome to Wangan. This is church that Helen and Whit planted here. It's a great opportunity for the church to be able to reach out into the community. And they have a real heart for their community. But one of the greatest privileges has been seeing firsthand the difference that God has been making here and hearing stories of his transformation in the lives of people right here.
Helen and Whit came to me. We were so delighted to meet them. They help people in the community, including me as well. Since Jesus has changed my life, I gave up idol worship. I was hot-tempered, very sensitive and easily angered. Since I came to know Jesus, he's changed my angry thoughts. Since I came to know God, he has changed my heart and gradually transformed me into living his way.
I spent just 2 weeks here with Whit and Helen in Thailand, and it's been so encouraging. And I hope as you've heard the story that it's encouraged and inspired you too. So I'd love to encourage you to continue to keep praying for Whit and Helen, continue to support them. The work that God is doing here has still not finished. It would be great to continue to support them and be a part of what God is doing here in this great part of the world.
Of course, Helen and Nick Whit appear regularly in our prayer diary because they're regularly in the Baptist prayer guide. And so when that comes up next and you're thinking and you're praying for them, you can picture them in... But what does mission work like? It's not grand. It's not fancy. It's very ordinary. People in very humble positions. But what's crucial is God changes people's lives. It's very funny when you can think of, you know, that lady said, I stopped worshipping idols. sounds awful, the Old Testament, doesn't it? But the reality is, it's a something that bears upon people throughout the world. And your idol might not be, as their idol would have been, a statue of some sort. Your idol might be, I've stopped worshipping money, and now I have Jesus' eyes on money, and how I see it. It could be anything in life. God changes our idol worship to Jesus worship. Changes our heart. Creates in us humility and humbleness and an awe in our knowledge of God. So Galilee was the first word. The second word was worship. When the disciples saw the risen Jesus, they worshipped. Verse 17 says, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And at the absolute heart of the early church community was worship of the risen Lord. They worshipped him on the mountain, but they continued to worship him while they waited for the Holy Spirit to come. They worshipped him as they met together in prayer. They sang in worship. They read the Bible in worship. And in obedience to the teachings of Jesus, passed on by the disciples, they dedicated themselves to learning the teachings of Jesus. What does that say? I'd just like to deal with that phrase doubt as well in there. Just because, I mean, so I've read around this phrase doubt here and there. And it's not it doesn't necessarily create exactly what the Greek was saying in that translation. Doubt in the terms of puzzledness, and I don't quite understand this. If you imagine Jesus there meeting his disciples on the mountain, they'd seen him dead on a cross, and they're going, how did that happen? What's going on here? That sort of puzzlement is more probably a clearer graphic interpretation of what the original in Matthew was interpreting there, that we've now got as doubt in those senses. It clearly was not doubt in terms of anything long-standing that meant that they did not believe that Jesus was risen from the dead. They did not believe in the authority of Jesus. They did not carry on following Jesus. They did not go on preaching Jesus. They did all those things. They were completely convinced. But at those first days, they were going, what's all this about? So let's not misunderstand that passage here. So what does this say about worship and the importance of it? What does it say to us in today's church? Well, the Great Commission springs from worship. Wonder, love and praise is the spring that propels evangelism. If any Christian community is to be inspired into active outreach with the gospel message, it must first of all be inspired by its relationship with Jesus. It's vital for people to take the time to worship. And through that worship, we're enabled to be bold and go. As the disciples worship together, so the modern church must meet together to worship. Christian communities that worship Jesus with a full heart want to share the good news of Jesus. They do not want to keep Jesus to themselves. If we want to know what God's will is, and people often ask, well, what is the will of God? It's to make disciples. Those who love him desire to obey him. The command to make Jesus goes hand in hand with the command to love God and love your neighbour. They are all expressions of love. The third word is authority. Verse 18 says, all authority belongs to Jesus. I'll read it to you. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And Jesus' resurrection is a demonstration of his authority. Jesus has God-given authority over all things, and that includes sin and death. His authority in heaven, but we don't have to wait to benefit from his authority because he has authority on earth. To go in Jesus' name means to go in his authority, not our own. Just as an ambassador goes in the authority of his or her government, so all of Jesus' disciples go accompanied by him with his authority. The last words of Jesus in this gospel are, "Behold, I am with you always until the end of the age." Disciple making is something done with Jesus rather than for Jesus. And the last word is disciples. Jesus' command is to make disciples. And I deliberately use the word is, not was. Discipleship making is something to take place amongst all peoples. That, of course, includes the people group we are members of. It is a command for the whole church, each part contributing to the whole. Discipleship making differs from making decisions or converts. The emphasis is not on one moment in time. It speaks to a whole life transformed and commitment. It's to be publicly marked by baptism in the name of the whole Godhead. But it's more than that. It involves both learning and teaching all that Jesus taught. And this is not simply to be head knowledge, where so that we can answer questions, but lived out teaching. The observe here is not watching it, it's participating in it. Observe could be translated as follow the teaching of Jesus. So then, discipleship making involves clear teaching, faithful to Jesus' words and intentions, and demonstrated in the lives of the disciples, so that others can see the difference he makes. Our lives are to have missional intent, not just our words. So like that lady on the screen just now was saying, what difference did it make? It's changed my anger. I now manage and control my anger. It does not control me. Jesus did that to me. Something I would personally echo a lot. Jesus changed the way I am angry. What does this say to today's church? Well, as a church, we're to live under the authority of Jesus and also with the authority of Jesus. The disciple's life is not one of self-promotion, it's to promote Christ in all we do and say. As a church, we should be open about our beliefs and make clear that we are disciples of Jesus. Discipleship is a lifelong process, not a once in a while or even once in a past event thing. Jesus does not give up on us, and we're not to give up on him. The teaching we are to concentrate on is that which changes lives. If there is no noticeable change in our lives, then how can we honestly say that we are participating in Jesus' resurrection? Life in Acts, was characterized by changed lives. Where people are reverting back to their previous life practices, the apostles wrote pointed letters reminding them of what they had received by being in Christ, and warning them of the dangers of giving up on Jesus' teaching. So, through all of this, Jesus wants us to know that he is with us. We are never alone, not as an individual, and not as a church. So, two questions. Are they there, Nick? how then should we as Abbotsham Church proceed in the whole process of disciple making? And what lies before us in our walk with Jesus? How are we to be a light to those in darkness? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we know that you have given all your people the instruction to be part of that discipleship making process and to continue to be disciples. Enable us, we pray, through your Holy Spirit to continue to have our life changed to be more like Christ. Enable us as a church in a unified sense to be disciple makers. Give us the wisdom and the light in how we should go forward. Amen. So, we're going to now proceed to the communion and share communion together. It's very lovely, isn't it, to be brothers and sisters in Christ. And so just for a moment, before we take communion, let's take the opportunity just to greet each other with the peace of Christ. And go to some, each other and just give them a blessing. Just take a moment to say to each other, stand up, shake a hand, give a hug, and bless somebody with the peace of Christ. Let's do that together.
thank you for his life and ministry, announcing the good news of your kingdom and demonstrating his power and lifting up of the downtrodden, the healing of the sick and the loving of the loveless. We thank you for his sacrificial death upon the cross and for the redemption of the world, and for your raising him to life again as a foretaste of the glory which is yet. Thanks for this bread and wine, symbols of our world and signs of your transforming love. Send your Holy Spirit, we pray, that we may be renewed into the likeness of Jesus Christ and fall into his body. This we pray in his name and for his sake. Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it and he shared it around his disciples. And what I'm trying to do now is just to share this bread with you. Eat it as you receive it. And Jesus said, thank you very much. And Jesus said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance. This in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your heart by faith. We thank you. Same way, he took the cup after supper and said, this cup is a new covenant sealed by my blood. And if you drink it, you do this in memory of me. Please keep the cup so we can drink it together. This and remember that Christ's breath was shed for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this meal that you have ordained for us to follow. As we broke the bread and shared one loaf, we ask, Lord, that you would bind us together as your bread. That this church would be a church that feeds people with the knowledge and love of Jesus Christ. Amen. And let us say the grace. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, conclude our worship this morning with two songs. Great Matt, Purify My Heart, and I, the Lord, will see and sky, let us sing together.
Thank you. his first letter to the church is everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. Lord Jesus, may we remain faithful to you as we step through the door today. Amen.